Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, at the beginning of this new day, we pray that in the peace and quiet of this place, we would have ears to hear what your Spirit is saying to each of us, minds to understand, and wills to obey. Amen. So this autumn, we're thinking about being fruitful on our front lines, the places where God has put us to bring a blessing to others. We began a few weeks ago by thinking about the big picture, being reminded that God has given us this amazing gift that we're reminded of in chapter 1 and verse 19. God has chosen through Jesus to reconcile to himself, to draw back to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Jesus has won that amazing gift for us, that we have peace with God because of his death. We then moved on to think about how that, in a way, by responding, we can respond to that amazing gift by modeling godly character on our front lines. And then we were thinking about how we can work well in our places of work, whether they're paid or unpaid. And today we're thinking about how we can minister grace and love to the people that we live alongside. It's not difficult to see in church that we have been celebrating harvest, and we are blessed as ever by some incredible arrangements. So thank you if you've been involved with any of those over the past few weeks. Harvest time is a time when we celebrate that the land bears fruit for us in all its different ways. Today we're going to be thinking about something else that is bearing fruit and growing all over the world. We hear about this in verse 4. What is it that's bearing fruit and growing all over the world? It's described as the gospel. And this gospel in itself then brings hope and in turn leads to faith and love. So what is the gospel? If someone asked you to define that, what would you say? Well, I always go to Mark's Gospel, chapter 1 and verse 14, where Jesus says, "The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe." Jesus says, "The kingdom of God is here because I am here. I embody God. I am his perfect representation. And this good news is about me." That might sound a little arrogant, but Jesus was never arrogant. It's about Jesus, this good news, because Jesus came to show us what God is like and to rescue us so that we could be friends with God again by dying in our place on the cross. So that, to me, is what the good news is, the gospel. C.S. Lewis wrote this: "A man who was merely a man and said the sort of things that Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. He would either be insane or he would be the devil of hell. You must make your own choice. Either Jesus was and is the Son of God, or else he was insane or evil. But let us not come up with any patronizing nonsense about his just being a great human teacher. He has not left that option open to us. He did not intend to." So, who do you say Jesus is? Do you believe that he is the Son of God, come to rescue us in this good news? I meet many people who spend their lives thinking that he is less than that. That yes, he is a good man and a good example to follow. But as C.S. Lewis says, Jesus is so much more than that. And perhaps one of the things we need to do is to change our image of him. Literally to repent, to turn around in our thinking. This is good news. Forgiveness is free. It's sometimes hard to believe that anything's free in our world today, isn't it? There is just such an overwhelming sense of bad news wherever we turn, in the television or the papers. Politicians are in turmoil. There is uncertainty in so many quarters on the world scene. Children are not fed. Is there any escape from this? Is there any good news? Well, one commentator this week in response to that said this, rather pessimistically, well, the only good news is that we could have had it a lot worse. Is that all? Is that all that there is to life? I think there is so much more that God wants us to know. And particularly, he wants us to rejoice, to celebrate, to embrace Jesus. When was the last time you read about him? Can I encourage you to pick up a gospel? Like Mark's gospel, it's the shortest. You can read it in half an hour or so. Read it and be encaptured again by who he is. Now, Paul was at pains in writing this letter to the Colossians, which was a rather young church, that they should hold on to the amazing truth about Jesus. The amazing truth of God's grace. Grace is perhaps another word that we could use to explain what the gospel means. Perhaps if you were at Sunday school earlier in life, you will have learned this little phrase. Grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. You see, it's the events of Easter Friday that are the incredible good news for humankind, aren't they? That's why we call it Good Friday and not Bad Friday. It's all about this free gift. A gift that sometimes it's hard to accept. Because by coming to God and saying and accepting this as free, we come with empty hands. We say that we cannot make a claim on God, however sincere or faithful a person we are. You see, the heart of this good news concerns not our commitment to God, not how many times we come to church or how many good works we do. No, it concerns his free mercy and his kindness in sending Jesus to live and die for us. Paul was very conscious that he needed to make sure that this young church held on to this truth and didn't move away from it to take on board other truths. I hope this is a truth that you've been told in your life. And I want to encourage you to stay confident in it. Whatever other people might be saying about Jesus, and whatever people say about the church, and the church is one of those Aunt Sallys that's easy to stand up and then knock down. It's not perfect. It's made up of people like me and you. Whatever people say about the church, I always point them to Jesus, because he can stand up to the most intense scrutiny and still stand. Let Jesus do the work on people's hearts. I'm sure that's what Epaphras did as he shared the good news with this bunch of Christians in Colossae. And the amazing thing is that this good news is still alive. Why are we still here worshipping God in 2017? Because, as in all the generations before us, God is at work. We may not be many in number, but you don't need that many to change the world. This time last weekend, I was up in Northumbria and I had an afternoon free from my commitments to go and visit Lindisfarne, Holy Island. Has anybody been to Lindisfarne? It's an amazing place. It's a slightly strange place, this idea that you can only get there 50% of the time. The story of Lindisfarne is that St. Aidan was sent across Scotland from Iona to walk 235 miles to set up a monastery on Lindisfarne. Christian community. I haven't yet done enough research, and I don't know if it's possible to know, but who brought Christianity to Dedham? Who was it who walked here, perhaps? Who was it who got together in their homes to raise the money to build this church and the church in Ardley? See, the gospel was growing then, and it's growing today. Not just in terms of buildings and a way of gathering, but mostly in people's lives. It is bearing fruit. Some places it might be harder to grow, but it will grow. So if this is the amazing gift that God has given to you and to me, how can we share this, some of this, with other people who don't know it yet? Well, let's get really practical, shall we, for a moment. We've all got different front lines, different places where we are in the company of people who don't yet share our faith. There's one place that we all go to. One place that we all visit daily or weekly that you could call as a front line. Let's talk about the supermarket. Think about this place as your front line for a moment. How do you go to the supermarket? What sort of attitude do you have? Is it probably, if you're anything like me, you've got in your mind's eye, you've got 20 minutes to rush around and get as much stuff as possible. How about treating that daily visit in a different way? And so minister grace and love to the people who are there. To share something of the goodness of God in your life with those people. Change your mindset about your visit to the supermarket. Have a different attitude to time. Pay attention to the people who are there, not so much the time ticking away on your watch. So pause and smile at the mum who's coping with three children in various states of disrepair in the trolley or around the trolley. Or ask the person behind you in the queue if they're in a hurry and do they want to go in front of you. Or perhaps not choose the queue for its shortness. And do you do the maths like me? You look in front of you, you multiply the number of trolleys by the size of quantity of stuff in each trolley, and then you factor in your mind how competent you think the checkout person is by the speed over which they're passing the things. Do you ever do that?
Yes.
Yeah. And then you go to the next one, don't you? And you think, yeah, that'll be just marginally quicker. I'll cut 30 seconds off my time in the queue. Why don't we see that simple act of what we all do every day or every week in a different guise? And that's just a simple example. You see, faith and hope and love are the characteristics of a Christian. And as we think about our front lines, they are amazing things that we can share with others, as Paul speaks. Because to get it together, faith, love, and hope are evidence that God is at work in our lives. None of them is natural to us, or even capable of being developed in us independent of God. That's not to say some people are a little bit more optimistic than others, others are disposed to be a bit more affectionate than others. No, faith, hope, and love are spiritual qualities. You see, the work of the Spirit brings faith, not just in a vague way of faith in God, but specifically in Jesus and in all that he did. Faith is the sign of a true spiritual life, but also love is. Now, many people are blessed to experience the love of family, and some people show true self-sacrificial love to others. But this is a kind of love that builds on all of that. It's the love that we have for one another as Christians. Christians drawn from a variety of backgrounds and experiences of life, but with a huge person in common, Jesus Christ. And this is how we can be caring for each other. So we've been brought together by the power and the grace of God into a relationship with Jesus. And not only that, not just with Jesus in heaven, but with one another. We are spiritually related. Let's work to grow that love. And how is this needed in our uncertain world? Faith, love, and particularly hope. We live in a very uncertain world. But hope for Christians is the confident assurance and expectation that God's blessings are in store for us in heaven. Last time, when we were thinking about work, we were reminded that servants of God, even slaves as Paul described them, should remember that they're working hard, they will be rewarded in heaven. And that's a powerful encouragement for everyone whose life here on earth is characterized at times by disappointment, by discouragement, by despair, by doubt, and even by fear of death. St. Paul says, "We know the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait for our adoption to sonship. For in this hope we are saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. For who hopes for what they already have?" Doesn't that capture so well the life that many of us experience? A life where actually inside we're groaning at times for something better, for a different world, for a different experience of life. How can we patiently, calmly walk that life, that difficult life, and share something of God's work in our lives with others who are sharing or walking a different path, a difficult path too? Faith, hope, and love. Faith, being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not yet see. So we have this amazing gift, God's gift to us, Jesus, the good news, the gospel. And spinning from that, flowing out from that, is faith, hope, and love. I wonder how you can share love and hope, how you can minister to others in the week ahead. You see, grace is a quality of giving that doesn't have to do anything, but it does it. Grace is always on the lookout for opportunities to bless other people. Love doesn't have to, but love does. Love is always alert to the possibilities to share kindness with others. So I want to invite you just to close your eyes for a moment and to bring to mind your front line. Perhaps it's the place you're going back to now with an elderly relative that you're caring for. Or perhaps it'll be the place that you'll be this time tomorrow at work. Wherever it is, let me say this prayer for us now. Lord, help me to see these people, this place, and these issues with your eyes and your love. Lord, help me to bring to these issues, to this place, and to these people, your wisdom and your love. Amen.